A visitor to the United States would have difficulty understanding many aspects of life in this country if he did not know about the Revolutionary War. Were he to visit the southeastern states, he would have difficulty understanding the culture of that region without knowing about the Civil War. Such pivotal events of history alter the course of events that follow. The earlier the event, the greater is the impact on the events downstream that flow from it. No event could have a greater impact on history and on us as individuals than what happened to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 records the fall, mankind's first sin against God. The temptation of the devil, using a serpent for cover, is legendary. The fruit that Adam took in disobedience to God, the blame that he shifted, the curse that resulted from his choice, the promise of a coming deliverer, and the couple's ignominious flight from paradise tell a story well known to many. This ancient story is not, however, a legend, not a religious fantasy. More importantly, it is not irrelevant history. The Apostle Paul was a capable scholar, and his letter to the Romans is a classic of well-argued theology. In that book, he argues that Adam's disobedience is the explanation for the presence of death in the creation that came from a kind God. Death is not God's design. Paul wrote, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5, verse 12. Paul follows his argument by telling us that Adam is also a representative of all that would follow. In verse 19 he says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Adam was making a choice that affected all who are related to him. And Paul is arguing that as a result of that, all of us have a standing before God as sinners. Of course, what God had in mind was his Son, who became a man. He voluntarily obeyed God at great price to himself. He gave himself as a sacrifice for sinners. All who are related to him by faith have a righteous standing before God. Adam's choice was a severe turn in the journey of human history and totally altered the direction of his whole family. The year was 1938. It was July the 17th when a capable, experienced pilot named Douglas headed his small plane on a runway east out of Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn, New York. He headed his small plane up into the fog and into the clouds. He was cleared to fly to California. 28 hours and 13 minutes later, he landed his plane, not in California, but in Dublin, Ireland. His last name, Corrigan, has been wedded in the popular mind with the words "wrong way, Corrigan." It should be clear that at the moment he headed his plane east and didn't change his course, that he would not reach his stated destination, California. Adam was the original "wrong way, Corrigan." But was such an important matter just a result of eating forbidden fruit? It is the familiar story of direction, disobedience, and destiny. God had given Adam a direction. In a fair paradise where everything was for Adam's benefit and every tree was available to him, God gave Adam one command, and that direction was that he was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was in the midst of the garden. But Adam made a decision. His choice was to eat, disobeying God. The profound issue was involved in Satan's temptation: "Ye shall be as gods." The choice that Adam faced was whether he would allow God to be God. He actually was claiming equal rights with God, equal rights to determine what is right or wrong, equal right with God to determine what was good for him, a creature. In essence, it is the case of a creature supplanting his creator. Adam transferred to all his family this characteristic of disobedience to God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul speaks of all of us as being sons of disobedience. We have the character of Adam in our disobedience against God. The default position for us in making our choices is disobedience to God. That is, the preference to choose what is good for me, to choose what I feel is more comfortable, more beneficial, and right for me. Actually, with our children, they do not have to learn to disobey, but rather parents diligently teach their children to obey. This issue is actually a societal issue at the present time. The moral standards of the Bible are standards that are established by God. The current thrust in society is that we have the right to determine whether it is right or wrong, and therefore these issues are just an outgrowth of man's basic lack of subjection to God. This was the nature of Adam's choice, and this is the character of all sin against God. Rather than being subject to God, we resist His word. This is active opposition to God. God states His view of our condition in this way: our mind is at enmity with God. It does not willingly submit to what God says. The consequence is that we cannot please God. We can rightly refer to the historic event of Adam's disobedience as a catastrophe, perhaps the greatest catastrophe in history. It has spread the pall of death over every creature. It has disrupted the harmony of nature, including the entire animal kingdom. Its worst consequence, however, is the twist in man's morality. Because our will opposes the very rights and the very character of God, every act is tainted by disobedience. We do not have the capability to please God. We are without strength to make ourselves right with God. To miss this truth is to miss the thrust of the entire volume of God's Word. God's chosen people, the Jews, promised that if God would tell them what to do, they would comply. Highly favored as they were by the law God gave them, they proved themselves incapable of keeping God's law. Their story is our story. We are sinners, and consequently we disobey God, we sin. Sin is a choice we make. While we default to disobedience, we do have the capability, displayed on occasion, to choose what we know to be right. Therefore, when we disobey God, it is a choice for which we are responsible. God directs us toward what is right. We decide, and so often that decision is to disobey. A destiny is the result. Accountability for our sins means judgment, the punishment of hell. Is there any possible recovery from this catastrophe? The answer must come from a source outside ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the deliverer. We have a choice: to submit our will to God and to turn to Christ. That will change our eternal destiny. By personal faith in Christ, we are delivered from sin, both its dominion over us and its damnation for us.